What's up, everybody? How you guys doing? Ah, you guys are the best. So good to see you. Hey, hey to everybody out in the lobby, on the patio, and online. I'm so glad to see each and every one of you here today, and I'm so glad y'all are joining us from wherever you are this morning. I'm super excited to be here. My name is Jen. I am the campus pastor for our Oxnard campus. What? Woo! I'm training you all that every time we talk about Oxnard, you gotta cheer. That's what we're doing, because if we're going, it's gonna be awesome. Looking forward to launching this fall in October. It's gonna be amazing to see what God's gonna do in and through us as a church. TD and I just moved to Oxnard a month ago, so we are officially residents of Oxnard, and I could not be happier about it. I'm so excited. And so I'm so glad you're here. When we gather, every time we gather, we try to make a point to remind each other that we really do believe around here that there is hope for everyone and that there are no perfect people allowed. And so what we're going to do right now is you're going to turn to your neighbor and say, you're not perfect. So just real quick, just remind them. Now, some of you might want to keep telling them reasons why they're not perfect. We're not going to do that today, okay? But then I had a friend this week that reminded me, you know, it's more important to sweep our own side of the street. And so today you're also going to turn to them and say, I'm not perfect. I'm actually not perfect. Okay? And that should be real easy for you to say to each other, and then your neighbor will be like, yeah, I know. Okay? I know. I promise. But I'm so grateful that we do that every week. It's such a huge part for us to remember that when we come into this place, that as a church community, that we get to remind each other that this is a growth process, that we are on a journey together, and it doesn't matter what role you play around here, whether you're up here on the stage or outside in the lobby or attending or whatever it is, that we get to just come into this space and recognize that we are all growing, we are all becoming who God wants us to be, and it takes time and it takes process. And then every single time we come together, we get to recalibrate our lives to what God's word has to say, to the truth of what he wants in and through and for us, and then we get to do that together. But it's all under this, that we know that we don't have to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, put on our happy face and our fancy clothes. We get to just come and be as we are. And that's why I love being a part of this community and why it means so much to me. And we've been in this series just last week and this week called Crazy Faith. And last week, Brandon Watts kicked it off with just talking about what it looks like to have crazy faith. And frankly, all faith is just sort of crazy, okay? Because the definition of faith in Hebrews is to be sure of what we hope for and certain of things we can't see. So this whole idea of faith itself is just a little crazy, that we would really trust and believe, even though we can't see it, even though we're not really sure how it's all going to turn out, that we have a God that we can believe in and trust in and hope in and know that he is in control and still working, even though our life may feel totally out of control. And so today we're going to talk about wavy faith, because all of the weeks rhyme with crazy. So I got wavy. And so when Joe first told me I was doing wavy faith, I was like, is that like super friendly faith? Like, you know, like waving at each other, like, hey, how are you? That's cool. But she said, no, that's not exactly what we're talking about. Actually, it's faith in the midst of waves. The waves that life throw at us, the inconsistency, the waves that we experience day in and day out, with the world telling us how to believe, Facebook telling us how to believe, Instagram feeds telling us what we're not living up to, all of the things that are in our life that are being thrown at us, how do we remain faithful and certain of the things that we cannot see in the midst of all of this? But this is the promise that we have through Jesus Christ, that we can experience hope like an anchor. I mean, one of the authors of the Bible, the author of Hebrews, said it like this, that we have a certain hope of being saved. It's a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls, connecting us with God himself behind sacred curtains of heaven. Like, how cool is that picture? That we have this deep anchor for the deepest parts of our soul that connect us to something we can't see. These curtains of heaven get opened up to us because of Jesus Christ and what he's done for us, this anchor for our soul. I love that picture of anchor because I grew up boating my whole life, not in the ocean like many of you. Anybody live on a boat in here? I have friends that live on a boat, and I'm like, that's pretty much the coolest thing in the world. And I know most people know this, but I didn't really realize that if you own a boat, You can just like go anywhere you want. Like you don't have to ask permission. You don't have to get a ticket. I literally told my husband like a few weeks ago, I was like, wait, you can just like get in your boat and go in the sea? He's like, yes, you can. Okay, anyway, I thought it was pretty cool, but I thought it was kind of dumb that I didn't know that. Anyways, but I grew up boating, but not in the ocean. I grew up boating on a lake. My dad had a boat, and he was a teacher. My parents were teachers, and so we would go all summer long on the lake. If you're from Colorado, we went to Lake Chatfield. That was our favorite place to go. Super fun, and I loved getting to do it. But when I was very little, I was probably about 6 years old when I learned how to ski. And I remember I was absolutely terrified to get into the water, probably because we really shouldn't get into bodies of water where you should be able to see down more than, you know, an inch, but you can't because it's just murky and gross and really dirty and who knows what's all in there, right? And so, but like that wasn't why I was scared, okay? I was scared because my cousin, who told me lots of things that I didn't know were lies until I was an adult, that there were sharks in the lake. Yeah, sharks in the lake. And so I totally believed him. And so I remember just thinking, like, I'm trying to learn how to ski. I don't know how to ski. I don't know if you've ever skied before, but it's not easy, okay? So I'm sitting there with the ski, you know, on the rope and the whole deal. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I gotta get up out of this water because these sharks are gonna get me. I prayed every prayer I could think of. I was like, no, leave me down to sleep. I'm like confessing my sins. I'm like, dear God, please don't let me die by these sharks that are gonna eat me. And then, you know, I got up pretty quick out of the water, which is actually kind of brilliant for my cousin. He's probably tired of waiting for me to get the hang of skiing and just wanted me to, like, get some motivation, okay? But there's not sharks in lakes, just so you know. That's not true. Yeah, but there are in the ocean, which is why I don't surf. But I loved being in the lake. I always loved boating. I always, when the times that it got scary, though, especially in Lake Chatfield in Colorado, because a storm can hit, boom, super fast, right in the afternoon, come out of nowhere. So it could be a beautiful day, and all of a sudden, you got waves crashing over the bow of the boat. I remember I would watch my dad's face to know if we should be scared or not, because my dad's a pretty steady guy. But if he started getting worried, then we started getting worried. So there was a few times of that, but the best times of all were when we would go out to the calm water in some kind of bay, and he would toss out the anchor, and then we would just sit, and we would read, we'd hang out in the sun, we'd talk. And those were some of my favorite memories growing up because of this picture I have of what it looks like to be anchored. This idea that we get to have this in our faith really moves me. I was looking at what the purpose of an anchor was before, because clearly I don't know a lot about boating, okay? So I was looking at it, and the purpose of an anchor is to keep a vessel in one place to combat the wind and the currents that want to move the vessel off course. How cool is that to think about that in our spiritual walk? That we have this anchor in our faith with Jesus that gives us access to the God who was and is to come. That he will be faithful to us no matter what waves and winds come our way. That he will be consistent. That we can stay steady within his grasp. That he's never going to leave us or forsake us. That he takes ashes and turns them into beauty. That we have this opportunity in our lives to recognize that we don't just add Jesus to our to-do list. That Jesus is the center of the to-do list about which everything else springs. That's what Brandon talked about last week. I love that because Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And that is what we have in this hope that we have anchored in our faith and anchored in who God is. But here's the thing that I think a lot of us do. I think a lot of us want to be anchored. I think a lot of us like that feeling of being grounded in something, right? But a lot of times I think what we do is we mix up being anchored with our dead weight. The dead weight of our life that just drags us down, that pulls us down from making any sort of progress. These are all the things in our life that when we are over it, it's kind of like all of our overs, like overeating, overdrinking, oversleeping, over vegging out, over gaming, over social media eating, like all of these things that we do that become over because we are just looking for some semblance of control and something to anchor us. But what we don't realize is it's really just dead weight. I like that there's a life jacket in this little dead weight because this is what I do a lot in my life. Stick this thing on. I might teach the rest of the time with this on. What do you think? No, but this thing for me is this life preserver, but it's all up to me to save me. Like, I forget that I have a Savior who is actually my anchor, and I think if I just put this on, you know what? I may just be floating, but I'm surviving. But I'm gripping my life like this, and I'm hanging on so tight, and I'm holding on so tight. But don't worry, I'm staying afloat. It's like a duck, you know, like real calm on the surface, but underneath, just swimming away, right? This is how so many of us live our lives, forgetting that we have an anchor. We have a safe place. We are grounded in the Father's love, but yet I'm going to try to save myself by putting all of these things in my life that just make me feel grounded, all these codependent behaviors, all these tendencies that actually just drag me down. But for a second, at least they make me feel strong, feel a little bit anchored, feel a little bit stable. And some of us, we even keep our big anchor in the boat. Like, we know we have access to God, but we don't actually use it in our lives. Like, maybe we come on Sundays and we're like, yes, God is big, he's powerful, and we sing these songs to him about how amazing he is and how awesome he is. But the anchor just stays in the boat. Did you know that the Titanic, that the anchor that they had on that boat was at the time the biggest anchor that had ever been built? It measured an impressive 18 and a half feet, and the cast head of the anchor measured 11 feet in width and weighed over 15 tons. But you know what? An anchor doesn't do a whole lot of good if you wreck the ship. So many of us are living our lives and we're just wrecking them because we're not tapping into the power that we have on our boat to anchor into something greater than us. These things that we think are grounding us are actually drowning us. And it's breaking us apart. We need to return back to who God says he is and allow him to anchor us in our lives. We're going to look at a story today. I'll talk a little bit about how to stay anchored into God and who he is. And this story is all about waves and being afraid of the waves and getting through the waves. And so we're going to look at Matthew 14. If you have a Bible or you have your phone or app or whatever, you can open up or you can follow along on the screens. It's a really cool story. It starts in Matthew 14:22. And it says this: immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. And while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up to a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against this. And I want to stop right here and talk about something I think is really cool. First of all, the context of this particular story is really beautiful, because the reality is Jesus in this passage is tired. So he's actually really sad and grieving. His cousin, John Baptist, has just been beheaded. And he tried to get away and process that grief and get away from people, but they kept following him wherever he went. Maybe you can relate to that if you're a mom or dad of young children. You're like, I'm just trying to go to the bathroom, okay? Leave me alone, right? I'm just trying to get away from you. You can relate. But this is what Jesus is doing. He's trying to get away, and people follow him anyways, and so they follow him, and he has mercy on them, so he begins teaching them, and he's teaching them for a long time because now they're hungry, and so then he feeds them 5,000 people with just a couple loaves of bread and some fish, and all these people eat. So this experience, this incredible miracle, so he's grieving, and he's exhausted from that, and then he's living out his life on mission for God, and he's exhausted from that. And so he's trying to just get away, and even doesn't even want to be around his friends. He just wants to be with the Father, right? And I just think it's really encouraging to know that today, that Jesus got tired, that Jesus got exhausted, that in his human form, that Jesus actually needed rest and time alone with the Father. And so if he did, so do we. So do we. If we want to stay anchored in the truth of who God is and how he sees us, then we've got to get time alone with the Father. When we're grieving, when we're exhausted, when we're constantly pouring out, that is where we get filled, just like Jesus did. And it makes a comment here that don't miss, that this boat that went out to sea is now buffeted by the winds and waves against it. And so Jesus is out praying, and it says shortly before dawn, he went out to them walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." And so Peter says something Peter would totally say. And you remember a couple weeks ago when Albert Tate was talking about Peter and how many of us resonate with Peter because he's just kind of a bonehead sometimes, but he's also just kind of awesome sometimes. So he, like, you know, while he does, like, foolish things and he looks kind of dumb sometimes, he also is the one who gets to do a lot of cool things. And so, like, I can resonate with him. I think he was probably just an 8 on the Enneagram and just wanted to, like, probably just fight with Jesus. And maybe this was hypothetical. And he's like, "Hey, if it's you, why don't you just call me out there then?" Well, it puts him to the test. And Jesus says, "Come on out." "Come," he said. Then Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. And I love this that he gets to do this. Like, how cool is it that he actually stepped out of the boat? And we're not talking calm lake waters here. There are wind and waves blowing against the boat. This is scary. Like if you've been tumbled before when you're surfing, like, that's the potential here. Like, it's nuts out on this water, okay? So if you picture Jesus, like, moseying on out. No, this is like waves, right? And Peter has the courage to step out. He has the courage to step out because Jesus called him out. And I want to tell some of you in this room here today that the reason that you showed up today, and you might not even know it, is because God is pursuing you, and he is calling you out. He's calling you out of your comfortable life into the waves, and he is saying to you, "You can come out here because I am out here, and I will sustain you, and I will hold you up, but you got to get out of the boat, and you got to come out to me, and you got to trust me with your life." And this is faith, because we can't see it, and so it's hard to believe it, but it's true. And when we take that step out into the water, man, we get to experience real life and miracles and power of the power of God working through us like we're walking on water. And he does this with us when we say yes and when we get out of the boat. 11 other dudes stayed in the boat. I mean, what happens next is kind of a bummer because Peter falls, spoiler alert. But he's the only one who at least got out and had that experience. He's like, at least I walked on water. And they're like, "Bah, you fell." He's like, "Hey, at least I walked." You know what I'm saying? So anyway, so they get there, and he's out in the water with him. And he says, "But when he saw the wind, he was afraid," which is fair. "And beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. 'You of little faith, why did you doubt?'" And I think that is such an interesting question. Like, he actually has a lot of faith, it seems like to me, if he stepped out and walked on the water and was able to do that. And so I kind of wrestled with that this week. Like, I felt like that was a little bit unfair of Jesus to be like, get him in trouble. Like, why did you doubt? Like, man, I mean, like, he tried, right? But here's the thing that struck me this week that made a whole lot of sense to me. I feel like Jesus is looking at Peter kind of like a father to a child going like, "Are you kidding me? What have we been through together? You have seen me raise people from the dead. You have seen me heal people. You are literally in the middle of a miracle right now, and you are doubting me. Why are you doubting? Do you know what all we have been through? Do you not remember the ways that I have been faithful, the way I have always come through for you?" And you guys, we do the exact same thing in our lives. How many times has God been faithful? How many times has he seen you through? How many times has he provided for you, shown up for you, not left you alone? How many times has he not forsaken you? How many times has he been faithful? And so when we start hitting, these waves start hitting us in our lives, things start coming after us, man, we have to remember what he's done for us and remember our faith. And remember, if he saw us through before, he's going to see us through again. And don't miss that it's not about perfection. I mean, he falls and it says immediately Jesus picks him back up, puts him back in the boat. It's not like Jesus is mad at him. What he is just dumbfounded because it's like, man, what else do I have to do for you to believe that I've got you and that you have nothing to be afraid of? So they climbed back in the boat, and the wind died down. And those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are a son of God," because Anytime God does a miracle, it's for God's glory. But I think it's kind of crazy right here, and just notice it in the text this week, that as soon as they climbed in the boat, the wind died down. And I think that's super interesting because we know that Jesus calms the wind and the storms, right? But I think it's really cool that when he was out there and it was crazy and windy and the waves and they were freaking out because it looked like a ghost and all these things, that Jesus didn't change the circumstances when he called Peter out. Like, he could have calmed it and be like, oh yeah, you can come, but hold on one second. Like, let me just calm this on down so it's a little easier for you to walk on it, okay? Let me just like make this nice and smooth so it'd be like sliding on glass. No, Jesus is like, you want to come? Come on out, because I'm out here, so you have nothing to fear out here. I do not have to change the circumstances for you to increase your trust. What you need to do is increase your faith, and then you will know that I am enough, no matter what the waves bring, no matter what is crashing up against the boat. I do not have to calm this for you to be okay. You are okay because I am out here. Come on out. See, I think so often we expect God and we pray for God, change my circumstances, change my outcome, change these circumstances, give me what I want, give me what I clearly see that I need to function in my life, because obviously this is not going to work unless you do it this way. And God's like, okay, but also just come on out in the water. The water's fine. I'm out here and I've got you covered. I got you covered. I think there's a couple things that I just want us to watch for this week so that we can stay anchored, so that we can come back to this place. And there's a couple things that kind of threaten that I want us to be aware of. The first thing is that we need to learn to stay anchored when we are getting tossed. When we're getting tossed by the winds and the waves of this world. So many things coming at us, whether it's from other people in our lives, from our workplace, so many things that aren't true about who God is or aren't true about who we are coming at us all day long, waves after waves after waves. What I want us to learn to do is to stay anchored when being tossed. And there's this really cool passage in Ephesians 4. And Paul's talking about this, and he says, when we are anchored, then we're going to no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. I feel like somebody you work with. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, and that is Christ. This idea that we actually have this option, right, to stay anchored and not get tossed around. But what's really cool about this passage to me is what he's talking about when he says, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves. What he's talking about right before that is the body of Christ. He's talking about how all the different parts of the body, he uses this analogy of our own bodies to help us understand how the church is supposed to work together and how some of us are like hands and some of us are an eyeball and some of us are a big toe. And like, that's just how it works. And it's so cool. And it works so beautifully when we all come together, bringing our unique giftedness and bringing it all together to work together for the kingdom in all sorts of different places. And you guys know what this looks like. I mean, it looks like that here. For those of you who are in recovery, you know, OA, AA, NA, that this picture of community, you know it only works if you work it. And it only works if you go to the meetings and be a part of the community and get your accountability. Like, that's the same way as our faith, that we're supposed to be in this place where we are bringing our best and other people bringing their best, and we put it together, and then we don't get tossed like a salad. We have this ability to hear back from people in our life the truth of who God says we are. And we have to be around people to hear that. And listen, I know that's been complicated in the last year and a half. And I know that a lot of us have gotten isolated from those systems and rhythms that we had before that kept us from drifting. It's time to come back. It's time to come out of hiding. It's time to stop being isolated. It's time to put people around you in your story. It's time to get some accountability. It's time to get some truth taught back to you. That's how it works. Paul says when the body shows up, when we have community with each other, then we don't get tossed back and forth like the wind. Then we're stable and sturdy and steady in the hands of God. We need each other. We need each other. Another thing to stay anchored this week I want us to think about and watch for is to stay anchored when we start to drift. See, that's actually the purpose of the anchor, if you remember what I read before, that it actually is the thing that keeps us on course, that keeps us going the way that we want to go, is when we anchor in so that we don't lose our way. And this is so funny to me. I don't know if you resonate with this, but like when I watch drift in my life, I think it's hilarious. I mean, not really, but like honestly, it's just super annoying because this is what happens to me. I start being convicted about something or recognize something in my life that's off, right? Like it's unhealthy and it's leading me down paths I don't want to be. So I do all the things that I know I need to do to get back on track, to anchor in. I listen to God's word. I listen to messages. I listen to worship. I recenter my mind. I recenter my people. I put them in place. I'm honest with what I'm dealing with. I tell them the truth. I put them all around me, and I'm like, this is it. Help me. What do I do? And we speak truth of God's word back to one another. And I start doing all of these things, and then every time, this is what happens, I start feeling better. I start seeing progress. I start doing better, and it's awesome. So I stop doing all the things that made me feel better. Like, why do I do that, right? Like, all of a sudden, like, all of the things that were in place that actually got me to this place, well, now I'm doing better, so do I really need to go to that meeting? You know? I don't know. I'm not even really an addict anymore. I mean, I don't really struggle with it anymore. Yes, because you've been going to meetings, right? This is how it works for us. Suddenly, we start getting strong. We start doing better. And we put on the life preserver, and we're like, you know what? I think I got this. I don't need to do all these things that were keeping me anchored in. Listen, this is what keeps us anchored. And when you start to drift, it is hard to tell until you are way off course. Stay anchored in. Stay anchored into these things that are working and the ways that you are growing and the things that God is bringing into your life for accountability and hope and direction, and anchor into those things so that we don't drift. Watch out for being tossed. Watch out for the drift. Stay anchored in who God says you are. Stay connected to that place. I love how Paul describes it. He describes it as like roots going down deep into the love of Christ. It's one of my favorite passages. I'm going to close with it today. He says, my response to this love, to the fact that we get to be anchored down into the love of Christ, is to get on my knees before the Father, this magnificent Father who parcels out all of heaven and earth. And I ask him to strengthen you by his Spirit, and not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength that Christ will live in you as you open the door to him and invite him in. And I ask that with both feet planted firmly on love and anchored deeply in him, that you'll be able to take in with all the followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth, test its length, plumb the depths, rise to the heights, live full lives, full in the fullness of God. Because God can do anything, you know? Far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. And he does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his Spirit deeply and gently within us. Man, that is the kind of anchor I want to have in my life. And so I close out today the same way Paul closes out this passage. Glory to God in the church. Glory to the Messiah in Jesus. Glory down in all the generations. Glory through the millennia. Amen. Let's pray together. God, I just thank you so much that you are the true place that we can find our hope. Lord, when we start to drift or we start to get tossed back and forth by the way the world says we have to live, or expectations that we place on ourselves, or even just get bogged down by the things that we think are anchoring us, but they're actually just drowning us. God, I pray that you would expose those things for what they truly are. And that we would come back to you, we would run back to you, and that we would stay anchored in that kind of love that Paul is talking about there, that goes deep and high and wide, and that anchors our very soul into the presence behind the curtain with you in the intimate place. God, we are so grateful that this is an option for us, that this is the kind of love and the kind of stability and the kind of hope we get to have through your Son. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.